Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders, where we learn about the bold path of building digital products that sell themselves. Let's listen to product leaders who can give us a glimpse into the innovative thinking process. Showcasing and celebrating these awesome folks, I'm your host, UX and product design veteran, Thomas Watkins. Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders. We've got a great guest for the show today, Jay Limburn. He has a long history in directing technology and IT consulting. He was the vice president of product management for IBM for many years. Today, in addition to being a member of Forbes Technology Council in London, he is chief product officer at Atacama. Jay, welcome to the show.
Hey, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. So let's start off by understanding the problem that you guys are solving. I want us, me and the audience members, to steep ourselves in understanding what is the pain that people are going through before Atacama.
Yeah, great question. So look, we're in the data business, right? For many years, organizations have been collecting all this data and they've been trying to figure out how to store it and understand that data. But it was really for the purpose on majorly regulatory compliance needs. In the last few years, we've seen this explosion around the need to use data for AI. It's now widely recognized that to actually have an effective AI program, your data is the big unlock for that. And the better you understand the data, the more data you have, the more understood it is, actually the better outcomes you can get from your AI initiatives. And so our mission at Atacama is ultimately allow organizations to make better use from their data, their internal data and their external data, and serve it up for those AI initiatives, those analytics initiatives, still taking care of the regulatory needs around data, but making sure that we can serve it up so they can use it and turbocharge their business.
Can you give us some examples when companies are not on top of these regulatory needs? And I'm assuming you're talking about GDPR and potentially other standards. What goes wrong with people and why are the stakes so high in this category of problems?
Regulation's not going away, right? I think we can see regulation increasing in our lives in so many different areas, particularly when applied to data. But yeah, of course, GDPR affected everybody in pretty much most regions that are affecting to use data. But there's also regulations such as BCBS around banking and Basel II that's required to make sure that ultimately organizations are managing data responsibly. And I think we're all consumers. We all choose which companies to do business with. For us as consumers and choosing where we want to buy services and goods from, we also recognize that we only want to work with companies that we can trust that are using our data the right way. So it's not just about the regulatory needs around fines and that kind of stuff, which are massive now, but actually it's about brand recognition and making sure that your company is a company that consumers want to do business with because they trust you and they know that you're going to do the right things with their data and use it in the right ways.
Yeah, that's a good point there, because there are just reasons to be on top of the integrity of how you use data and just how you manage all of that stuff. Then the compliance is the teeth that forces us all to do it, even when we would not have prioritized that for whatever reason. When companies are dealing with these data issues, so there's the usage. Let's pick apart the types of things that they have to be on top of. There's the usage of other people's data. People are using their products, the websites, and so on. And there's the collection and gathering of the data. And then there's the usage. And in the AI world, there's training on the data. And perhaps that's a gray area. I don't know. How much are the regulations on top of that sort of thing?
Yeah, I think this AI has the need to train, use data to train models, et cetera. That's created a whole new world of regulation, right? We talk about data governance for years around making sure you're handling data the correct way. But then AI governance gets us into the realm of how is that data used to train models? Can it be used for that purpose? Does the data contain bias? Perhaps it's going to impact the model, which also, by the way, has brand recognition issues. If you're using an LLM on your website to provide, I don't know, car insurance quotes, for example, and there's some biases that's come into that model, that has a brand impact potentially on your company. Really important aspects around that. And then I think We're starting to see now some of the regulatory aspects around fines and cost implications on the AI governance side as well. We obviously the European Union and Canada have done some pretty big things now around regulation there. And we see many other regions and countries following in that. So the regulation aspect is only going to grow and increase as the understanding around data and the way in which data is used to fuel AI, it's only going to increase. I don't see it waning anytime soon.
So when it comes to your solution, now companies know that they need to be on top of this stuff and they need help doing it. I imagine it's because it's a very complicated area, making sure that you're doing everything right. When companies engage with Atacama, what does that look like?
Yeah, look, you've mentioned it. This is a complex space. Data is really complicated, and it's with the plumbing, right? There's a whole bunch of plumbing that needs to be done before the clean water comes out of the faucet, right? And so the plumbing is very complicated stuff. The way that we focus on this is there are many vendors and fragmented capabilities out in the market. It wasn't so long ago that everyone was talking about this new wonderful modern data stack that existed, where you'd take all these little niche players and you'd string them together in perfect harmony, and that would give you a data platform. That kind of fell apart pretty quickly because it was complicated. You'd have to have a relationship with 20 different vendors. You'd have to try and make sure that there was versions that worked together across those 20 different vendors, and it added a whole bunch of complexity. What we've got at Atacama is our Atacama One platform is what we call a unified platform. So we've taken capabilities that previously would have been considered separate, and we've brought it into one complete unified data trust platform. So things like data cataloging, data governance, lineage observability, data quality, reference data, all these things used to be separate boxes on an architecture. We've built these capabilities natively, and that's really important because previously you'd have to try to integrate these technologies. Acquisitions always take place in this technology space as well, where you get companies trying to stitch different technologies together. We've actually built these technologies from the ground up together. So they integrate properly, they work the way you would expect, they've got an integrated user experience. And that's why customers have been coming to us, because we go from what would be lots of boxes on an architecture diagram into one nice modular box that can then be used and integrated into the broader data ecosystem.
What's the sweet spot in terms of the companies that should use Atacama? Is it everyone across the board? Is it large companies that are trying to manage internal sort of data architectures and stuff? Is it product companies that are going to be dealing with themselves, lots of different client data? What are the different types of solution spaces that you're offering?
The good thing about being in the data space is I've yet found a single company that exists that doesn't need to understand their data better or use their data better. It's difficult to specify by industries because in reality, all industries have data problems, whether you're an airline, an energy company, an oil company, whatever. Where we focus though is we believe that the larger the organization, generally the more data you have, therefore the more complex the environment that you're trying to figure out. Smaller companies may have hundreds of pipelines. But larger companies have tens of thousands of pipelines using legacy data stacks, modern data stacks. The landscape is forever evolving and trying to modernize, and the size of the problem is just a lot bigger. And typically, that's where we find the sweet spot. We focus on those larger enterprise customers. Of course, we solve smaller use cases, which then typically grow to become bigger and serve more of an organization's needs. But if you look at companies like large financial services companies, some of the most complex data landscapes on the planet, large insurance companies, large manufacturing companies. Those are the types of organizations that have the biggest, most complex data challenges, thinking about understanding their customers, understanding their products, understanding their supply chains. These are big, meaty problems that actually, if you can modernize and improve and understand all of the data that's flowing through those systems, you can really move the needle on those large organizations in terms of efficiency they get from using their data, whether that's improving cost, decreasing expense, or as we mentioned, the regulatory compliance pieces.
When we're in the beginning, let's say I'm a founder building a new technology, an enterprise software, and I'm in the early stages piecing together my backend systems and my technology stack. Is that the time to start using Atacama to get everything together? Am I, to some extent, building on top of Atacama, or am I just integrating it in with my technology stack? And when should this kind of start coming together for people thinking about building technology?
Yeah, there's not really one answer to that. What I would say is if you look at data on the left and outcomes on the right. There's a whole bridge in the middle. And that bridge, typically, that you can't just take the raw data and put it in the hands of users. No one's going to understand it. No one's going to know what it is and what it can be used for. And so many organizations are in this mode of let's understand and document what we've got. Let's try and make sure that we can do the bare essentials around governing that data and make sure that we all keep ourselves out of jail and we avoid any regulatory fines. That's good. Most 90% of prospects that I talk to are stuck there. But they still don't get to the value question. And if you look at chief data officers, the average tenure for chief data officers is about 2, 2.5 years. And that's because they've done a good job of understanding the reactive use cases around understanding their data, but they're struggling with how they can then demonstrate value to the business to support those AI initiatives, those analytics initiatives. And that's really where we come in. We can come in and we can augment the data architecture that exists and provide what we call our layer of trust around that data. So great, maybe you've got a data catalog and you've documented some of your assets, but we allow you to provide the semantics on top of that data, the data quality on top of that, and be able to improve the data quality so that you can then turn your well-defined documented information into high-value data products, which can then be used to consume by lines of business for analytics and AI.
Gotcha. So would it be, for example, the data governance team at a certain company as the primary users of it, data science team, and they're making sure that stuff is documented, but since the data's flowing through it, you're also able to do other stuff with it, like BI and things like that? Am I
Like the role of that chief data office has shifted, right? I mentioned the reactive use cases. There was teams of data stewards inside the chief data office whose job it was to let's avoid fines. And the CDO and the CDO teams used to walk down the corridor and all the doors would shut because no one wants to talk to the CDO because they're going to say no. These are the reasons you can't use this data. That has changed dramatically over the last 2 years. That has now turned into the chief data officer and the team of the chief data officer actually being the enablers of the business. They're the people that you can go to figure out how we can turbocharge some of these initiatives and get access to data because I've got a data science problem I need to go solve. I've got an AI problem I need to go and a project I need to complete. Therefore, I need access to the data to be able to do that. And the successful CDOs are now focusing on those proactive use cases to start to help the business and make sure that data products initiatives are available for people to get access to data.
now, you mentioned so compliance is one major area of why someone needs this kind of solution. And then I think you alluded to, I think you said data products. Is that creation of algorithms based on things that we've learned about the data where that can be a product in and of itself, or pick that apart for us?
I mean, in the governance world, we always used to talk about data assets, right? So data assets are tables, columns. And they're not particularly usable by the business users. This is a back office thing that's used for reporting, right? We may have complex customer table names. We may have complex column names. They don't mean anything to anybody, but we know inside there it includes important information that actually, if we could use it and put a layer of semantics around it that are meaningful to the business, actually, there's a lot of insight that could be used by the business to get information out of that. So we go from this world of data assets, which are internal, if you like, technical defined data components, and then using a trust platform to enrich the metadata associated with that data asset so that it can then be formed into business-friendly data products. So that might mean joining together three or four raw data assets, going through a governance process to document that asset, define that asset, apply the business language over it, apply the business rules over it, the data quality rules over it, to get it to a standard where it can then be transformed into a data product which has meaning to the end users. So they know exactly what a credit card number is and what a customer ID is and how that relates to their business so that they can then focus on doing cool things with analytics, doing cool things in AI. And make sure that they can deliver then outcomes to the business that they need to go and focus on. It's a complete merging, if you like, of the two worlds of the technical and the business, and using our platform to provide trust in the data products that get created by merging those worlds and using the output of the technology teams in turn driving it into the business.
Can you put us in the seat of one of the ideal sort of day-to-day users? And I ask this question with thinking about some of the AI using enterprise softwares out there today. There's some who deal with visibility and cloud computing, and they might be nowadays querying through chat interfaces, or they might look at a screen that gives them recommendations that are floated up to them about here are things that you should fix in the system according to what the ML is telling us. And in terms of that sort of ideal user, and you've painted a lot of the picture, I think, for us already, but the person who falls in love without a comma and using your interfaces, what are the kinds of things that they are empowered to do more easily?
I think we've seen this big push around decentralization, right? We've gone from centralized data teams, who are the police, if you like, around the data now, to these empowered business users, where there are data people embedded inside the business teams now. That's a big shift because that's a recognition of how important data is to the business teams to get their jobs done. But they're not deeply skilled in data. You'd have a stretch to call them deep data professionals. They're probably a little bit earlier on in their data careers. Maybe they've moved from ancillary roles into to become the data specialist for that team. As a result, their skills aren't quite as deep, perhaps, as the data practitioners. So on one side, our Atacama One platform certainly serves the needs of the deep data practitioners, the SQL guys that are there quite happily writing SQL and regex and whatever else they want to do. But what we've also done is we've been able now to level up our platform using our AI features. So we've embedded generative AI into our platform, whereby now the slightly less technical data people can be as productive with the platform as the deep technical people. So let me give you some examples of that. If you need to write data quality rules, for example, to define this should be a credit card number and this credit card number should have this number of characters, etc., we can detect that in our system through a rule. But maybe you've got more of a business-centric rule that you need to create. You don't need to know our rule language to do that. You can now use natural language, English, to be able to explain what you want the rule to do. And we will use our generative AI technologies to just go and generate that rule for you. But also, we allow you to test that rule. So we'll go and generate some synthetic data that you, based on that rule, that you can determine if that rule is a good fit for what you actually meant. Another good example is things like descriptions, right? So descriptions on the kind of columns and tables and information, explaining what it is in business context is a laborious task. It wasn't so long ago we'd have 25 data stewards sat in the back office manually typing in descriptions and definitions in business terms that make sense to describe the data. You don't need to do that anymore. You click a button inside our tool and it will look at the data and it will figure out what the data is and how it's related to other data. And it will give you a business description of that data. We've got customers that have never ever been able to justify defining and describing their data before because it would take 3 weeks and five people to go and do that. We've got one customer in manufacturing who did this in 2 days with one person and provided generated description on 500 different pieces of data. Hugely expensive historically, now easily justifiable and valuable to the business.
Yeah, it's so fascinating. There's this whole area and lots of different businesses, almost pretty much any business, of possibilities that are now here because of AI tooling. And you don't know it until you start getting into it. And you say, whoa, this thing that we never would have done because it just would have been unrealistically expensive and time consuming, we can now actually do that. And there's also, I just love the empowering of just business-minded people. They're smart folks. They just don't have the extremely deep technical skills. Can they just come into a system and start using just the natural way that they talk, discussing things in terms of business metrics and KPIs, and get results that are built into their data architecture? That's really lovely to have that kind of thing.
I think you've said it. It unlocks a huge amount of potential. And the cool thing is, we're only really at the early part of this, right? There's a whole lot of innovation that's going to continue to happen in this space where we can't even inset the things that we think are going to happen in the future, which is a great time to be an innovator in data, that's for sure.
Yeah, now in terms of the competitive space that you're in worldwide, you've got this gold rush toward the best AI tools. What do you see? I'm not familiar with exactly what your competitive space is, although I've met a few companies here and there who do things that overlap. What do you think the winner 3 years from now, 5 years from now in this kind of space is doing?
I think,
To the extent that you want to share that.
I'm sure my competitors will be watching. No, I think that the catalyst for this is going to obviously going to be the in AI. The AI train is not stopping anytime soon. We're already coming from a world of beyond Gen AI now into agentic AI. Now we're talking already about multi-agentic AI, where you've got agents talking to each other. That innovation, and that's where a lot of technology companies are going to be focused. Your Microsofts with Copilot, your Snowflakes, your Salesforces, they're all going to be focusing on how they can create the new business operating system based on their agentic front ends. But with a multi-agentic world, actually, it allows the data companies to be fundamental to that. So I believe that the future on where we need to get to is making sure that the insights and the intelligence and the trust that we can provide to data, being able to surface that up into that multi-agentic framework, so that if you've got two AI agents inside a company, and one provides explainability and higher trusted outcomes than the other, what are you going to use? We know that these models can hallucinate, but if you've got explainability and trust that one that you can actually believe that answer more because it can explain the answer based on the metadata that you've been able to extract from your enterprise data, I think that's a pretty powerful proposition for a business user that's just trying to get their job done.
And ladies and gentlemen, we've been speaking with Jay Limburn of Atacama. Let me spell that, Atacama.com, Unified Data Trust Company, AI built on quality data. How can folks go ahead and get started?
Really easy. Go straight to our website, atacama.com. All the information is on there that talks about our data trust platform and how we can make sure that we're helping you to turbocharge your AI and your business analytics initiatives.
Very exciting to watch futuristic cutting-edge companies like yours do what you're doing and growing. Jay, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks very much.
Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on Product-Led Growth Leaders. Take care.